Greetings. This is James Gillen, your host with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got another great show. Later on in the second hour, we're going to bring in Michael Murphy. And we've got quite an interview there. We're going to be talking about the not only what on earth are they spraying, but why on earth are they spraying it. And it's a very, very informative interview about the motives behind the spraying. And I think it even goes further than that, but we can get into that on another interview. But my understanding is a lot of these chemtrails actually have some very serious stuff raining down. And I know the aluminum particles, we'll talk about it later on, they heat them up and they grab the moisture and then they drop it, you know, on the other side of the mountain. So back in the east, they're just getting deluged with rain, and we have a drought going on here with extreme forest fires all around us. We've got a 16,000 acre fire right in front of the ranch here, not too far away. That's been going on for quite some time, and these aluminum particles actually create a very hot fire. They make the fire even hotter. And we talked to a few firefighters up there, and they said, you know, basically that they've never seen a fire this hot and uncontrollable, you know, in all their lives of fighting fires. They said, this is just crazy. And they're not even dealing with big winds or anything else, but these fires are like nothing they've ever seen before. And so it's all tied together. You know, if you get all the parts of the puzzle and put it together, you'll see that there is a major movement right now, and it's underway. And unfortunately, it's almost like a war against humanity and the earth by the elite or the powers that be, who are making a lot of money on these programs, and we'll go into that later. I want to talk a little bit about time. A lot of people are seeing an extreme acceleration in time, and it's not so much that time is changing, but the manifestation between events is changing. So before, we used to take a long time, you know, in the old days, you used to, you know, you're raised on the farm, you know, your parents died, you inherited the farm, you know, had a family, you know, popped out a few kids, and that was it, you know. And nowadays, you know, you're having multiple dwellings. Some people are living in multiple states, some people in multiple countries, multiple relationships. Everything is moving really fast right now. So people are cleaning up their past. Karma is unfolding very quickly. And so it's, you know, time seems to be accelerating, and it really is the manifestation. Time is accelerating. So between the cause and the effect, or the thought and the reality, whatever you want to call it, you know, things are really accelerating. There's different ways of looking at that. A lot of people wanted an update on the fire. We already talked about that. It's about 60% contained right now. It's burned well over 16,000 acres. And there's a lot of smoke, and it's just unbelievable to see the smoke here. To wake up in the morning, and is so thick you can't even see, you know, and your eyes are burning and throats are sore and things. And then finally the winds pick up and the smoke clears away, and you look up and there's just as much smoke over your head, which is from the chemtrails. And so, you know, it's just unbelievable that you've got the fires raging down below and you have the chemtrails raging, you know, up above. And again, these are some pretty toxic metals that are being sprayed up there, among other things, which we'll get into later. I think I've covered most everything. We've got a major solar event going on too. You know, M-class flares and other flares that continue to bombard the earth. There's a stream. It's kind of a steady stream at times of solar winds that are really kicking up. And when you combine these solar events with the full moon and with all the other things going on in the chemtrails and everything else, you're going to have some really crazy behavior out there. So be prepared, you know, pay attention. I know a lot of people, they've been coming up to me and saying, what is going on? It seems like everybody is coming unglued. They're like time bombs waiting to go off. And, you know, very few people are maintaining their center or holding their center. They're just, you know, going off one after another. And I think that's a combination of these energies and other effects as well that are causing this. So it's a combination of the awakened healing process, the vibrational lifting, which is bringing everything up for us to heal and look at. A lot of the chemicals and the chemtrails and the acceleration of energies, you know, through HARP and other mind control products are creating a lot of this as well. There's so many different things going on that, it's not easy to maintain your center through these times. So it's imperative that everybody maintain their own personal connection with spirit right now. Learn to get your own information. Don't wait for somebody else to come save you or heal you or take you away or whatever. You know, it's avoiding personal responsibility. And also at the same time is that we have to take care of our physical bodies. We're going to have to really get on top of detox programs and getting these heavy metals out of our systems and these other chemicals that are raining down. The chemtrails are also dropping down funguses and bacteria and things that live in the upper atmosphere. They're raining down that we've never been exposed to before. So, you know, that and whatever biologicals they've been adding to these chemtrails, it's making it a very trying time. And so that's why I thought it was imperative that we bring people like Michael Murphy on and support his work, his two movies. And we're going to do that in the next hour. I've got tonight, I really wanted to bring in some open lines to get other people's opinions and expressions on how they're feeling, you know, what they're with these energies coming in and how they're experiencing them and any premonitions on these earth changes. I'm really feeling something building big right now. I don't know where this is going to pop, but there's an energy that's building up right now, and it's very, very strong. And I haven't checked into any major astrological lineups or anything else right now. If anybody knows about something going on, feel free to call in. And I'm going to give those numbers right now. The call-in numbers are 888-627-6008 or 530-413-4522 or 530-413-5011. And if you want to go ahead and call in, we'll put you on hold and be patient because there might be a few in front of you. We're going to switch over. We've got a couple of people here at the ranch that just had a wonderful experience. And so we're going to try to bring Lauren and Jenna on. Hook them. I think we've got three. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
How you doing, Lauren? James?
Doing great. How you doing?
We're good. We're a bit zoned out, but we're pretty good.
Yeah. For those that don't know who you are, you know, first I want to thank you so much for doing a wonderful article here on the East City Ranch and, you know, talking about, giving a very good critique on what goes on here. But today you got to experience it firsthand that in a lot more depth of what is going on. And I'd love for you to talk about that if you can, just some of the things you've experienced here.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, my name's Lauren Cutt, and for those that don't know, I run a radio network, Global Radio Alliance. And in fact, James, you were my guest on my own show, High Strangeness, about 2 or 3 months ago. 2 years ago, I came here to interview you for a magazine article for UFO Matrix magazine in the UK. And that day, I can say, really changed my life because I wrote a very heartfelt article. It's since been reproduced all over the place, all over the world. In fact, it's going to be even published next month in America in UNX News magazine. And really, from that day onwards, I mean, we experienced quite a lot that day. My ringing in my ears, my tinnitus disappeared when we were talking to you. I wrote this article. Through that, I met my current life partner. She had a dream about me after reading the article. So I can definitely say he said he changes people's lives and brings people together. And that was all before today. So today we came, me and Jenna, we took the same path as we did two years ago, to come and see you. But this time we had a session with you for cleansing and clearing and a past life regression with you. And I have to say, we both kind of came here with an open mind but without knowing too much about it. And I think that it's safe to say that we were both completely blown away by it. What do you reckon, Jenna?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't know what to expect, and it was just amazing. I can't even express how I feel now. I'm kind of, calm and excited at the same time. It's an amazing combination, but I feel incredible. It was an amazing experience.
Great. The transcendence release sessions that we do here are pretty intense, you know, and I've had psychologists, you know, university level say, you know, there's no way you can do that kind of clearing. You know, that takes years and years and years. And so I said, well, sit down in the chair and let's find out, you know. sending me all the
Well, you know, it's interesting because we didn't know anything about it. I'd heard from a couple of people, just go, just don't, you know, don't think about it, just go with an open mind and open heart and see what happens. And so that's what we did. I mean, and normally that's very out of character for me. I normally like to gather as much information as I can, read up about it, know what I'm getting into.
Yeah, you do.
And, you know, it was just kind of a gut feeling that we come here, especially after my experiences 2 years ago. So.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I'm really glad you did come. And you know, actually, I'm very honored by the work that you're doing on the radio shows and also the articles that you're writing, because it's, you know, you're one of the few people that have actually grasped what's going on here and, you know, wrote a beautiful article in a very good light.
Yeah, you know, I'm just open-minded. I came here 2 years ago, and I think like it's honest to say I was kind of semi-skeptical. And that there's, when you actually have these experiences yourself, as I did 2 years ago and today, how can you not accept it? At least, you know, maybe we don't have all the answers, but something certainly unusual and very personal happens here. And I think I said that when you came on my radio show, James, is, you know, don't take your word for it or my word for it. Come here and experience it yourself and see what happens.
And I think that's important, you know. I think, you know, a little bit of skepticism is good, you know, you know, that, and discernment. You know, I always tell people, keep your discernment. You know, don't walk into something blind. And unfortunately, a lot of people do. You know, they go blind. They just take verbatim anything somebody says, you know, and all they have to do is say, I'm channeling some grandmaster or ET or whatever, and people will just, you know, fall on the floor and bow down to it. But up here, right. What's not? Here is it's experiential. You experience it yourself. It's not just somebody telling you what's going on. It's all happening within.
Absolutely. And, you know, I have to say, I mean, I don't even begin to understand what happened in that room. But, you know, I can say firsthand that something unusual and truly quite remarkable happened, because the feeling of balance and centeredness and peace after that experience is something I haven't experienced before, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, I showed you the footage of the, I think it's called PIP technology, where they actually filmed one of the sessions going on. And I'm curious what your, after seeing that, what'd you think?
Yeah, that footage is remarkable. I'd like to know more about it, what kind of camera they're using, because what the footage you showed us exhibited was like this kind of, you know, all the four people in the room just started emitting this amazing kind of golden light, and the screen started pixelating. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, wow, you know, I'm sure that, you know, skeptics among us would go, well, you know, you can hoax that's special effects, but I mean, that it kind of would be in keeping with what we experienced in that room upstairs, so.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, after if I'd seen that footage before I'd had the experience of the cleansing, I would be like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. But after having the cleansing and then seeing it, the experience was so amazing. You felt so much energy in the room where we were. I have to look at that footage with a completely open mind. It showed exactly what I was experiencing during the cleansing. It was amazing.
I know what's amazing, too, is that we'll have people that will start seeing different colored lights. And with that technology, it shows that energy coming into the room and a vortex opening up and people being held in beautiful pink energy or green energy or the golden energy, depending on which group they're working with, which beings they're working with, and what level.
So can you tell me, I mean, how did you come about that process, James? I mean, Because it seems to be that, you know, it's a mix and match of quite a few cultures and philosophies. I mean, is that something you came up with yourself or?
Well, you know, it's, yeah, it's, I learned it. There's the TIC, Teachings of the Inner Christ. I went through their program all the way up to their minister training program. And it's the tools, you know, it's called Being a Christ is their book. And it's, okay, these are the tools. This is how you make it happen. And then I went through the Tibetan Foundation, and actually I studied almost every process oriented therapy you could come up with. And I combined them all, the best of them all, into this process. And I found a way that, you know, we're working with the highest consciousness and energy. So it allows people to heal things very quickly and gracefully. And there's a lot of techniques out there that work, and some are, you know, they work, but they're limited. You know, they're you know, might be working on a lower frequency, which makes things more traumatic when you're processing them or healing them. Or, you know, it may just do one life at a time. And it may bring up that life so you can look at it, but it doesn't really push it through and clear it. But this process actually brings up the past lives that need to be cleared. It actually clears them. And, you know, age one, any wounds and traumas, it clears out the blocks and patterns. And then you're actually initiated into conscious contact with your main teacher and guide or whatever streams of identity that are within your fields, you might say. So, you know, there's a lot of us hooked into the Andromedans or the plane of bliss or, you know, the ascended masters. Some people are very connected, you know, to the Pleiades or the Orion Council of Light or the other beings, you know. So there's so many different groups out there that people are connected to, and the clearing process opens up those lines of communication so they can reconnect with their past and the greater family of man.
And what was really interesting for me this time, James, was, you know, you said that, I'm getting something of a childhood trauma around age 7 or 8, and this has affected the right side of your body and face. Well, unbeknown to you, the right side of my neck and my face has been spasming, you know, for a long time, at least 2 years. And since you did that clearing, I haven't had the spasming at all. My ear hasn't been clicking. And so, you know, just like last time, it's like just remarkable for me, really.
Great. I know, I love watching people go through this process and having their own awakening and healing. To me, that's more reward than anything else. But I'm always fascinated by how people will be carrying something, you know, their whole life sometimes. And it's just a pattern. It's just a pattern, like a past life pattern or a childhood pattern. And you clear the pattern and the body reacts to it almost instantaneously.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. Hey, you're probably saving people, you know, years in therapy charges, you know.
Well, you know, one psychologist told me that he got very upset with me because the people were coming here and they're going through the process and clearing, and then they decided they didn't need any more session. And so he got very upset and he said, "Are you telling these people that they don't need more sessions with me?" And I said, "Of course not. I said, I'm not. That's up to them. They decide, or that's between you and them. I'm not taking that role on at all. You know, they just come for the transpersonal release sessions. It's a spiritual thing." And
yeah,
you know, some got very upset because all of their people were healing, which I thought was the goal. You know, I didn't think the goal was to establish a huge clientele and make a lot of money. I thought the goal was healing.
Yeah, and that's something you said to me last time I came here to interview. It's really stuck with me. You said, you know, the UFOs and the ships flying over, that's just the icing on the cake. What's really amazing and what's going on here is all the healings and heart openings, and that's, I think, stayed with me, and that's why we came back for this.
Uh-huh. Now, you're just sitting outside just a few minutes ago, and I think you saw, it sounds like you saw a pretty nice ship come over.
Yeah, we just saw, you know, it's still pretty light, and it's a full moon as well, and like last time we were here where it was, there was no moon. So, I mean, there's a lot of, there was still a lot of light, wasn't pitch black, and we still saw something that was pretty bright in the sky. Just Jenna pointed it out, and it's like, oh, here we go, we're off. So I can't wait to go back out, now it's dark, and and see what else we can see.
Yeah, we were out last night and saw one, a big one, come in from the north. The same thing, very early. It came in from the north, and it definitely wasn't the space station or anything known. But it powered up nice and big, really big. And then the second one came from the south and traversed the exact same pattern as the other one and powered up in almost the same spot. So, you know, I go, wow, that's nice. You know, two big power-ups right in a row over the ranch. And you know, we look at heavens above and we look at, you know, the J-Tracker site and make sure that these aren't, you know, Rheem flares or any of the known major space stations so it's, you know, we check into that. But, yeah, it's pretty clear.
And also, you know, I heard the conversation. I was here very briefly for the Global Transformation Conference. I think it was July, wasn't it? I just caught the Skywatch on the last night, and I heard kind of quite a heated debate between one of the guests and their girlfriends. And the girlfriend was like going, well, they're just satellites, they're just satellites. Well, then one changed direction. And that was the end of that argument.
Yeah, I had a guy up here. He was a scientist. I'm not sure. He was a physicist, but I think he was, I'm not sure what his expertise was in. But you know, he told me that too. He says, you know, I'm a physicist. And he goes, I'll believe it when I see one come by and then stop and turn around and go the other direction. And within not even a minute, seconds, the ship was coming over, stopped and and, oh boy, that just turned his head upside down. He just said, I can't believe that just happened, you know. And then they hear us, and I said, of course, they're telepathic, you know, they know everything.
Yeah, there's like playfulness there.
Yeah. And so I said, well, you know, you set it up, you said this is what you need, so they gave it to you. And I said, now what are you going to do? And he just said, I can't wrap my head around this one. He goes, I can't deny this. You know, I can't deny what just happened. I know that's not a satellite. I know it's not a plane. There's no running lights, no strobe. You know, he just said, I said, well, you know, good old, what's it, Occam's razor? You know, it's pretty. I said, you know, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and flies like a duck, it's probably a duck, you know. But, there's still some other explanation for it. You know, we're trying to come up with something.
The other thing, you know, I would like to mention while I'm here is, you know, since doing that last article, James, you know, I probably had over 50 emails from people all giving me their ESETI experiences and saying, oh, you know, we loved your article, it resonated with us. Here's my experience at ESETI. And, you know, it's phenomenal when you take this whole body of experiences. It really does tell a story. I mean, one guy that really sticks out, one guy said that they were in the field of dreams, and they noticed all of a sudden that, I think it was Orion, one of the constellations anyway, had an extra star in it. And the moment they actually realized there was this extra star, it started moving.
Yeah, I've seen that too. We've had that at the Dipper, you know, I'll come out and there it goes, oh, that's just the Dipper, and I go, or Cassiopeia, and I go, what's that? There's an extra star there. It's not supposed to be there. Yeah, and all of a sudden it just takes off. As soon as you recognize it, you know, they leave. It's quite interesting. Yeah, they go and run off. But anyway, again, I can't thank you enough for all the work you're doing and the positive spin on this place, you know, just basically telling the truth. I mean, it's so important. We have a lot of armchair investigators and people that come up with a really bad attitude, and that gets accelerated, and they usually go away with a bad attitude. But
Well, you know, I pride myself on trying to stay balanced and unbiased, and level-headed in this subject, because I think there are, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff written, and that was one of the reasons I came up here in the first place, was I wanted to check it out for myself. You know what, if I have experiences, if I have something extraordinary happen, I'm sure as hell going to write about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, it's I think you did an excellent job on that article, and can't wait to see E-SETI too.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We'll do a follow-up on today's experiences, and we'll call it Return to the Field of Dreams or something. It'll be excellent.
So, Janet, do you have anything to add before we move on? I'm curious if get a little more of the feminine aspect of what you felt and experienced.
I'm kind of amazed. I've been going through quite a few problems, just upheaval in my life in the last year, and everything's just kind of progressively been spiraling out of control. And I just, for the first time today, I just feel more calm. I feel a lot more positive. I feel kind of like I can sort through the muck that's in my life at the moment. And that's really wonderful for me. And I definitely came up here with no expectations and just trying to keep an open mind. And I feel like I could say to anybody, have this experience, give it a go. It may affect you, you know, physically as well as emotionally, like it did for Lauren, or on a real kind of personal emotional level, like it did for me. I mean, as you know, halfway through, I felt amazing, but I burst into tears. You know, this was a real way. It felt really cathartic. It felt like a real way of getting rid of a lot of baggage I've been carrying around for a long time, and that's a real relief for me. I had no expectation of that whatsoever, so I'm really grateful. I'm also grateful for the experiences that I've seen Lauren go through after having come up here. I've known him for years. I know that he's been suffering a few things for years that doctors have had absolutely no ability to treat or recognize or test for, and he comes up here and they're alleviated, and I can't explain it. I don't know why it happens, but I've seen it right in front of my eyes with, you know, one of my best friends. So I would just encourage anybody to keep an open mind about everything that happens up here. Come up here and experience it for yourself, because at the very least you'll see a very beautiful place, but at the most you could have all sorts of transformations up here. I want to thank you for welcoming us up here and the experience we had today, James. It was just incredible.
Oh, thanks. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your experience. And I think it's important that, you know, this doesn't happen to everybody. Some people have spontaneous healings and have, you know, miracle healings happen because they're open to it and they allow that to happen. It's between them and spirit. And every once in a while we get somebody where nothing comes because they refuse to drop their shields and spirit just says as you wish. You know, you can't trespass so, you know, if people are serious and they really want to heal, there's a space here for that to happen, you know, but it's between them and spirit as to what happens.
Interesting.
Yeah,
thank you so much, James. It's been a remarkable day, and I probably will never forget this, actually.
Definitely not.
Hey, well, again, thanks a lot for coming on the show, and we've got a whole line of call-ins here I've got to get to. But, again, thanks for the great work on writing the articles, and keep up the good work with your own radio shows and I guess, onward and upward.
Thanks a lot, James.
Thanks, James.
See ya.
All right, take care. I think we've got Katie on line 4. Katie, are you with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can. Welcome to the show.
First of all, I've never heard you guys live. I've listened to you for a while, and you mentioned calling in. I looked at the clock. It was 11:11. I was like, I got to call in. So I called in. I wanted to mention, I know later in the show you're going to bring up chemtrails. Well, I collected some rainwater a few weeks ago, and I wanted to drink it because of what's in our tap water, and I saw this video about distilled water, and well, I drank the rainwater and didn't tell anyone. I got so sick. Like, my stomach was cramping up. I thought I was going to die. My husband was like, what is wrong with you? I was like, I don't know. I didn't tell him that I drank rainwater because he would have gotten mad. I was wondering, if it had something to do with them spraying the clouds, because I had such bad cramps. I have never, they were like menstrual cramps, but 100 times worse. I was doubled over on the bed. I thought I was dying.
Yeah, it definitely.
And
because, you know, what's in them is aluminum oxide, barium, and strontium. Those are the major elements, but they also come rain down these other funguses and molds and things like that, and bacteria that are in the upper atmosphere. And then now they're finding out that there's all these other additives to the chemtrails, and sometimes there's these strange fibers that are coming down that have all these influenza attachments to them, you know, as they're raining down. So, you know, to drink the rainwater, you probably got a heavy dose of all of the above.
It was so intense. And I've got a little baby. I'm breastfeeding at the moment, so I didn't want to tell him, you know, yeah, I drank rainwater. But it was so intense. So no more rainwater for me. But then also you were talking about the energies coming in. It seems like it's one extreme or the other. Either the people I talk to are, like, up in the clouds, elated, or they're just hating the world. It's like intense, extreme, one end or the other with the energies.
Yeah, it seemed to be going
but
on.
Mainly, I wanted to talk about the rainwater. I was like, whoa,
well,
this isn't good.
The side effects of that is a lot of neurological disorders and upper respiratory problems, which goes into your stomach, you know, having extreme gastrointestinal problems, and then you have muscle spasms and like cramps. You have really serious joint pain and things like that. And all of those are symptoms from the chemtrails. So it sounds like to me like you just got a major dose, you know, of
it was intense. I live on the East Coast in Georgia, and I was literally doubled over in the bed. Like, for all night, it was horrible. And now, I don't know if it's related, but every time I try and eat any type of beef, like I can eat pork or any other meat, but if I eat beef, I get the same exact cramps and it almost kills me.
Mm.
But not to the extent.
Yeah.
But yeah. I just wanted to call in and throw my 2 cents in.
Thanks for calling.
I don't want to drink the sink water because I know there's fluoride in it, and I don't want to drink bottled water because it's in plastic. So then I tried to drink rainwater, and it didn't work. So I'm kind of wondering, you know, what are we supposed to do?
Yeah, I don't know. I think get a really good filtering system if that's the only option you have. Or, you know, what we do is, and it's kind of spendy, though, but we get Langenberg water. It's super oxygenated water, and it has crystallized oxygen in it, and it's a microhydrant. And you can go to Langenbergresearch.com if you want to find out about that. But that's water I drink.
How do you spell that?
It's Langenberge, and then
okay.
research.com.
And, okay, great.
That's what I drink, and oxygen is the highest systemic antibiotic you can get. And even, you know, most cancers are anaerobic. So if you raise your body pH and get yourself hydrated and get the oxygen into your system, it you know, it has some very extremely beneficial effects. And we also drilled our own well here, and we have really pure water up here at the ranch. So we have a combination of both of those that we're drinking.
Yeah, and another thing is my husband's not, he's very technical minded. He's a mechanic, and it seems like he got pushed out of his last job. He's getting pushed out of this job. It seems like, you know, he's wanting to get into alternative energies. And I feel like people around me that are in careers that aren't serving humanity and the earth are just, it's not working out for them. They're getting pushed out.
Definitely. We're in between worlds right now. And you know, the old corporatocracy or whatever we have going, we have a, you know, a corporate dictatorial democracy going on right now. And that whole world is crumbling. You know, it's built on a false foundation. you know, the greed and the separation game going on there doesn't match the, you know, the wave of unity consciousness coming through. And so people are having to choose and change jobs and directions and all kinds of things. Even relationships are very intense right now. So, you know, that's part of this process that we're going through, and it's a very intense process.
It's great. I mean, I've been wanting him to get out of it for a while, and it's forcefully pushing him out of it. I was an assistant at a hair salon, and I really didn't want to be around all the chemicals with all the hair dyes and whatnot, and I wound up pregnant, and now I get to stay at home with the baby, and I get to focus on my spirituality and the garden, and it's just, it seems like everything around me is just unfolding the way it needs to be so quickly. It's amazing, but... Yeah. I'll let you get on to the next callers. It was great talking to you.
All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Roger on line two. Let's bring Roger on. Maybe we can bring, looks like Celia on line three.
Hello?
Hello, Celia. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for inviting us. Okay, I just have a little message, and well, first of all, thank you for all the light, you know, you people are shedding on the planet. Very, very nice. I just you know, do want to share, like, my own experience. I do, though, really feel that there's a big tendency, especially in the more developed part of the world, and even amongst people who are really very spiritually aware and enlightened, to forget about the source. And sometimes, you know, I mean, please, this is not directed to anybody, but, you know, just sometimes, you know, there's a tendency to... Even if, you know, we have marvelous ET or, you know, star brothers and sisters experiences and all that, we must not become ET groupies, you know. And this is something I feel it happens a lot, you know. A total idealization, and they are all part of creation. And we are forgetting about the source. And this is, it's fundamental, especially, I feel, especially people in North America are not really aware of the Psi avatar, you know, which is we are right now in the glorious, you know, triple Psi avatar manifestation, who was, you know, we knew him as Rama. I mean, that was God's avatar. Then he came as Krishna. Then he came as Sai Baba of Shirdi. Then as Satya Sai Baba, who left his body, you know, a year and something ago. And now I think Prema Sai was born, you know. And this is extremely powerful. This is God's avatar. And people are not really aware of this in this part of the world, but it makes an incredible difference. And I want to also share, like, I don't know, I'm putting a lot of energy into, you know, just really, well, a little meditation, and not as much meditation as I used to, because I am stressed out, but a lot of, you know, keeping the altar, you know, God's altar, and praying, because I do feel I do have, you know, a privileged communication with God, and it pays off, you know. I mean, I was kind of like really scared, you know, like about this asteroid that had been announced, you know, about the effects of it, blah, blah, blah. And it was never happening. And finally, I had this dream where really, you know, all the beautiful work that people like you and you know, ecologists and spiritual people all over the planet, and you know, we are doing, and it came symbolized as like fruit trees, you know, in a beautiful garden with children, and suddenly this tree, like fruit tree, gets much, much stronger and bigger, and this, like, outer route, which symbolized actually the cosmic, you know, outer route for this asteroid to pass. Anyways, it got like reduced and sent away, you know. I mean, it's difficult to explain this dream, but what it means is that really we are changing. We are changing our destiny. I mean, humanity, in spite of all that, you know, they try to destroy us and everything, all that we are doing of good is paying off, you know. And it is really important. I'm asking you, I mean, please take a look at the triple psi avatar, please, okay? And please, let's remember, really, it's very, more than ever, we have to forget about the creation and concentrate on the creator, on the source, which is, of course, within us. But especially, you know, Sai Baba, the triple Sai avatar, is the avatar of God. Of course, you know, he can do anything, even, of course, accompany us in this fundamental planetary moment, you know. Because sometimes, for example, once I was hearing just a little commentary, okay, but it seems like, for example, like these Pleiadians, you know, you were asking them, oh, why are you coming here? And they say, oh, to erase the past. And you thought it was to erase our past. And I tell you, it's to erase their past because they really messed up, you know, and fell short in many things they had to do, you know. So please let's... Yeah, we are all beautiful, but I mean, we are also the star beings. But let's not forget the fundamental. It's really very, very powerful, especially at this moment, to really concentrate on the source and forget a little bit about all the, yeah, you know, the beautiful, I mean, not forget about them, but, you know, just stop idealizing them so much and really get connected to the source. And I really invite you to dig into, you know, Sai Baba, the triple Sai avatar, Prema Sai. I mean, I had this incredible dream last February with a divan baby. I don't know, it's because, you know, Prema Sai was born, you know. So, anyways, I just wanted to say that, and thank you, brother. I mean, it just loaded with love and beautiful vibration, and really, it's a very healing effect.
Yeah. Can you hear us right now, or I'm not sure if you can hear?
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you. See, I've studied a lot of different faiths, and, you know, I've studied with Tibetan masters. I've studied with yogis, you know, all types of different faiths, Native American elders, you know, and they all are just as enthralled or whatever in their deities and their as being the avatars or the highest beings or the
But there's a difference. There's a difference, you know. Many people think of Jesus is God, but no, Jesus is not God. He's a divine being. And also be aware, because, you know, there's many right now ETs, not many, but some, coming up posing as Jesus with another name, like, you know, like Joshua or Emmanuel, and it's not. Jesus comes as Jesus. I tell you because I know Jesus, you know. So, and even there's even a real mother and a fake mother. I mean, we have to be really careful. It's very important to concentrate on the self. Sorry, I caught, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, there are definitely faker spirits out there. And, you know, we've always taught to be very aware of that, you know, of who you're talking to. But the thing is that how do you bring everybody together and not push one belief system above another? I know all the faiths have the same, a lot of them have the same feeling, you know, that their way is the right way and might be the only way. And this is the real God representative or whatever else.
They are all beautiful. I mean, it's the same energy. Jesus, Buddha. I mean, here in my altar, I have Buddha, I have Babaji, I have Sai Baba, I have Jesus, I have Maitreya. I have them all.
Uh-huh.
But it is important to differentiate, you know, like Jesus, Babaji, even the Holy Mother and all those beautiful prophets, they're all part of creation. But there is one source, God. And this is what people are not really aware of, especially here in India. Yeah, people really know about this in other parts of the world. And this one and only, this is the Advaita, is very, this is, he, we know him as, you know, when he came in the Tretara Yuga as Rama, then in the Dwapara Yuga as Krishna, and now as the Triple Sai Avatar. But this is something you have to investigate, you know? But it is really important. But I'm not saying this one is better. I'm just saying, me, I love them all, you know? And I've had communication with other masters and even it is. But God is the source, the one and only. Doesn't mean, I mean, all the others are really great, for sure. And it's not that, you know, but I say even Babaji, even Jesus, even the Buddha, even, you know, all of them, they are beautiful, and sometimes they can come. Sometimes you can pray God and have, you know, and maybe the Christ comes for a specific, you know, thing because he's a totally divine being. Great. But I tell you, there's a fake Jesus, you know, like happening, posing, you know, with the name of Joshua. Anyways, we have to be really careful. I think it's very, very important right now to concentrate on God, and I do invite you to investigate, you know, about Sai Baba, because it, as I say, this, you know, and it's been announced, you know, in millenary, you know, prophecies in India and stuff like that. But again, there is a difference, even if they are all beautiful and divine. And here, as I tell you, in my altar, they are all of them. But my prayers, the main contact, I think. It is, you know, and for example, Sai Baba's symbol, it's all religions are his symbol, you know. There's no difference. They are all different ways to God. Of course, then they get institutionalized and become a piece of shit, you know, like the Vatican is totally corrupted institution. I mean, we know that. But right now, anyways, I don't want to overextend myself, because I mean right now there's things happening and fake you know ETs posing as masters right now, and this is why, you know, I'm saying this, because this is happening in South America, it's happening here, and it's very, very difficult to differentiate, you know, because they can really appear as enlightened masters. And this is why I say it's fundamental right now to really, really try to, well, of course, God inside of us and everywhere, but really to be aware of the one and only source, you know, which does not take away all the rest, of course.
Yeah, well, thanks for calling. The way I see it is the Creator is omnipresent within all creation, and once we realize that, it's even within ourselves, and I try to I try to see the God in everyone and everything, and also honor beings that are of a higher frequency or a higher vibration, and, you know, judge them by their fruits, you know, or what their, you know, their actions or fruits or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, that's just...
No, for sure. For sure, God is inside of us, for sure. But what I see a lot of, you know, we have to stop being ET groupies, you know, because there's a lot of idealization. Anyways, the conversation could be very long, I'm telling you this because I really also feel a very Christic vibration coming from you. You know, it's very, very, very positive. Just listening, you know, to you. I mean, you're way ahead even of my own spiritual, you know, development in you know, in many ways. But I have really felt that, and it's very, very powerful. And the only one that can erase karma is God. That is the difference. And the only ones that can shower us with grace and change humanity's, of course, we have to do it, but the only one that can have, you know, shower us with real grace and erase karma is God. And this is a fundamental difference, you know?
Well, what if I...
Anyways, my dear, I'm going to let you go because I know you have a lot of people.
Okay, I'll just have a quick comment on that. But my understanding is that there are beings that are totally at one with creation out there. There's a lot of different beings, and the Creator works through them, and they have some pretty incredible abilities. Until I get there, you know, I'm going to accept all the help I can get. But as long as it doesn't diminish my own personal God connection or take away my own responsibility, you know, to make my own personal God connection. And I think that's what we see a lot out there is as you were saying, is people give their power away and they worship outside of themselves and they give their power away to different people, whether it be gurus or ETs or whatever. You know, and it's so important that we don't diminish our own personal responsibility to do our own meditation time, our own healing time, our own clearing time. And if they're there empowering you to do that, then great, you know. But
yeah, but for me, for example, I do feel that, for example, like this dream, which was not a dream, of course, you know, about the fruit trees representing humanity and community spirit, and that we have been able to push aside this threat of this asteroid that had been, you know, pestilently being announced as always going to provoke a lot of upheaval, and it didn't happen. I mean, and this, for me, I know that my own connection with the one and only source, who's really more important than the connection, even with the totally divine beings, you know, it's like I, you know, it's, anyways, it's a very long conversation, but in any case, you know, I mean, anyways, it would be too long a conversation for right now. In any case, I just wanted to say that, you know, like, let's also forget that first of all, we are the ETs, you know, I mean, it's like we come from the stars. And, like, you know, let's not be ET groupies so much, because sometimes I hear all these radio programs and I really hear, for example, atrocities. Like, I don't know, I heard Dolores Cannon saying that, justifying anything and everything the ETs do, and tell her that we are lacking criticism. We have to be critical, for God's sake. And I think this is really lacking in the ET community. There's a lot of ET groupism, you know. And so I'm just saying, there's a lot of beautiful star beings, the prophets, and I love Jesus, I love the Christ, and they are really agents of God himself, as is Babaji, and, you know, they're beautiful. But I tell you, there's a difference, you know, with the one and only source.
Okay.
It's Advaita, you know.
I've got another
in
show.
In any case, I think I'm talking a little bit too much, and I know you have other people that I want to listen to, but in any case, I mean, I tell you, the vibration, it's such a powerful love vibration, you know, that comes out of you and out of Iseti, and you are such a, you're, you know, the vibration coming out of you is really Christic. And so I wanted to also thank you for that, okay?
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, we've got another show coming up here. We've got Michael Murphy, and it's a very enlightening show. And I think it's something that we all need to pay heed to and pay attention to, because this is such an important topic right now. And, you know, just with the condition of the environment and everything else going on and what's happening just due to just pure greed and lust for control and power is just unimaginable to how it's affecting, you know, men, women, children, the environment, everything. And so we really need to pay attention to this. So hopefully we can get this show loaded up for the second hour. And this is James Gillen signing off from As You Wish Talk Radio and opening the door for Michael Murphy.
Greetings, this is James Gillen. I'm your host. We've got another great show. We've got Michael Murphy again. And those of you who do not know who Michael Murphy is, he's an investigative journalist, and he did the two movies, What in the World Are They Spraying? And Why in the World Are They Spraying? So I can't think of a better topic and a more important topic right now to cover, considering the fact that our skies have just been thick with chemtrails lately, on top of the massive fire that we have going on surrounding Mount Adams. So if it's not bad enough to be inhaling all the smoke, we get all the other chemicals to go with it. So anyway, without any further ado, we want to welcome Michael on the show. Michael, are you with us?
I'm with you, and thanks a lot, James. Thank you so much for covering this. Those of us who have been researching this, you know, most of us believe this is probably the most important issue that we will have to face in the history of the planet. So thanks for covering this.
You know, I've always felt that myself, considering the fact that, you know, my program here was I'm going to move really far out, you know, way out in the middle of nowhere. I just follow my inner guidance and found this beautiful ranch. And I go, boy, here I've got fresh water, you know, pure air, sunshine. I can grow my own food, you know, get back to nature and live a very spiritual, you know, wholesome life, you know, in harmony with each other and nature. But it seems like there's nowhere to hide anymore, that no matter where you go, we're just getting deluged with these toxins.
The entire planet is affected, and even if you don't see the trails, above, the fallout of these programs is, you know, being found around the world. So we're literally breathing these particles in every day when you see trails or when you do not. And, you know, we've seen profound changes in ecosystems and in human health around the world. So a deep concern.
Yeah, I have a friend that just got back from Spain. And where else did she go? She went on several trips, you know, just all over Europe, and she said that the chemtrails were everywhere and heavy.
They are, and they've seemed to have been ramped up every year. They seem to have gotten worse. And after we released What in the World Are They Spraying, that was about 2 years ago, people from around the world started taking rain tests, and they're finding the primary ingredients in geoengineering programs, aluminum, barium, and strontium. So those are very, very toxic to human health, and then to ecosystems as well. And your area up in the Pacific Northwest, because that's where the jet stream comes in, it's an area that appears to be getting hit the hardest. But again, we're seeing these programs ramped up around the world.
Now, I've noticed here the grasses just are not growing like they used to. We've had an extreme drought here. We haven't had any rain at all for almost 3 months, it seems like, and now we're having just forest fires everywhere. And, you know, and as I speak, I'm looking out the window at just a massive fire that I think it's around 13,000 acres right now that's still burning, you know, right in front of me. You know, luckily it hasn't gotten to the town of Trout Lake, but it's right next to us here, and it's a pretty big fire, and I think they've only got it about 40% contained.
Right. Well, a couple of things, and the reason why we're seeing fires, obviously, we're having drought. And I went back and I looked at the video from the geoengineering conference that we went to, and I noticed a lot of information regarding weather, and that kind of drove us into why in the world are they spraying. But geoengineers are very open about the fact that their programs create droughts. What happens, the particulates, which are nano-sized particulates, they act as what's called cloud condensation nuclei. So normally when the sun hits the ocean and it evaporates, the water molecules will condense and eventually form clouds, and then it will rain. What happens when they introduce these particles into our sky, instead of the molecules condensing on each other, the water molecules, they actually condense on this metal particulate, and instead of falling as rain, it drifts. So what we get, like in California, we're getting drought conditions, but California's rain, eventually that rain has to fall. So after it crosses the continental divide, it usually falls in tremendous amounts of precipitation. That's why we're seeing a lot of floods in the Midwest. This summer, it looks like there's been an engineered drought, which we'll talk about during the interview. But we have drought here in the U.S., but they're getting intense flooding in Europe. So we think that Europe is actually getting the rain that we should be getting here.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty insane. I mean, it's undeniable. Now, I still see people, I go into town, and we live in a kind of a Baptist logging community. There's a lot of agriculture here. A lot of the farmers are starting to kind of figure it out because they're closer to the land and they're observing what's going on and things like that. But it's still, you point up and you say, look at that. Do you think that? They go, oh, yeah, those are contrails. Really? And I said, so they formed a perfect grid over Trout Lake. I mean, where's the traffic pattern, they fly down the river. You know, most of the people coming into Portland Airport fly down the river. Why is it they're, laying out these X patterns and V patterns and all these other things here, right overhead, and they go, yeah, that is a little strange, but they just go on about their business.
Right, and that was very much the case, really a couple of years ago. Things are changing. People are starting to question. They're noticing that, trees are dying on their property, and actually around the world we're having ecosystem collapse. They're starting to notice the effects of geoengineering programs, which are altered weather patterns, which we have, and they're starting to notice the changes in health. We've seen aluminum-related illnesses go through the roof just in the past 10 years. Now, Alzheimer's, which is one of them, has gone up over 260% here in Riverside County and also around the world. Other illnesses related to inhaling particles, respiratory mortality went from number 8 down to number 3 in a 6-year period. We've seen asthma, ADD, and I mentioned Alzheimer's go through the roof. What I wanted to get back to, what I forgot to say, was about the forest fire. So we have these drought conditions. We've actually spoken to a lot of firefighters who many of them are telling us that the fires are burning a lot hotter and they've just never, had a problem containing them like they do in the past couple of years. So if we look at the rain test, and especially in your region, James, the aluminum levels are extremely high. We've seen in certain tests the increase in aluminum go up as much as 50,000 percentage points. Mm-hmm. So obviously after they spray that, it falls onto our forests. And if you've ever taken a lighter to aluminum foil, it goes up very quickly because it's an accelerant. So that's one of the reasons why we're seeing these intense forest fires.
Well, that those words are exactly what a firefighter yesterday that I talked to, he said that, he goes, these fires are getting away from us. We can't contain them. And he said they're burning hotter and faster than he's ever mm-hmm. seen before. And this guy's an old timer, and he was full of soot and everything from, out there working on the lines. And he said he doesn't understand it. He goes, I've never seen anything like this. This is insanity.
Mm-hmm.
But try to explain the chemtrail thing to him, it's like, I tell you what, this is a little off the subject. We had two huge UFOs fly right over the fire and sit there and power up and just lit the whole sky up. And so I've asked some of the forest, the people out there fighting the forest fires, I said, so you guys seen the UFOs hovering over there? And they're going, and they just look at me really funny. They go, no, I haven't seen anything, So and then they look at you sideways. So I mean, it's bad enough talking about chemtrails when you bring UFOs into the subject, it even gets weirder.
A little far too far out of their box, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, they're definitely checking this fire out. It's undeniable, and we've had probably 50 witnesses that have seen this going on here. But I wonder what kind of technology they would have, to put out a fire. They could probably just do some crazy weather modification or manipulation to make something happen, but I think they're just kind of allowing us to figure things out ourselves.
Well, there's no question that the technology is out there, and we'll talk about that, and we covered that, and why in the world are they spraying. But one thing that we noticed, there are certain corporations that benefit, and there's a company which we covered in the film called Arbigen, and they're actually genetically modifying forests. So I haven't checked this out, but I want to, you know, look into it. We're pretty sure that Arbigen will be or is getting the contracts to replant these forests that are burning down. So again, there's a corporate objective, but no question whatsoever that geoengineering aerosols are required and needed to modify and essentially corporatize our weather. And we started noticing about 500 to 700 miles ahead of storms, really intense spraying. Those are the days where you see the big crisscrossing patterns, and then your sky, eventually the sun gets completely blocked out. People are complaining of irritability, dry mouth, nausea, headache, you know, some of the other symptoms on heavy spray days. But anyways, we sat down with Scott Stevens. He was a weatherman for over 20 years, and he's been studying this issue. And he explained to us some of the technology and how the aerosols were could be used to corporatize and control our weather. And one of the things, if you look at the main ingredient of geoengineering programs, and again, what we're finding in rain tests around the world, it's aluminum oxide. And aluminum is a very effective conductor in our atmosphere. So what they will do, they will actually put down a canopy of this aerosol, and through the use of the HARP system or other technology, they have the ability to literally heat up the atmosphere. And when the atmosphere heats, it actually starts rising. And in that rising, it creates a low-pressure vacuum and enables these corporations to steer storms into certain areas, or in the case of this summer, out of certain regions, if they have an agenda for a drought. So the technology is definitely there, and they actually have the ability through the aerosols to build clouds, because again, these particles, certain particles, act as cloud condensation nuclei. Or I was back in Chicago this summer, and for a couple of weeks, and we had a couple of storms that were forecasted, and I went outside and I watched them, and we'd start to see these storms develop. But before they had a chance to fully develop, we saw the planes back and forth, back and forth, literally seeding the clouds. And the storms would be what meteorologists call iced out. They actually fall apart. And that moisture, instead of falling, actually drifted. So no question about it that with this technology, they've created drought conditions here in the United States, and then flooding in other areas. But definitely certain corporations are making billions of dollars from this drought.
You know, it does seem, you know, one of the listeners wanted me to ask you about right after they started chemtrailing, everybody came down with, you know, headaches and the usual muscle and joint pain and gastrointestinal problems, you know, sinus problems. But they started getting this white, the real white tongue with blisters on it, like almost that opened up. And they're also coming down, a lot of them are coming down with skin problems, like something that will not respond to antibiotics or anything else. It just will not go away. It doesn't seem to be Morgellons. It's something else. I'd love to hear any comments on that.
That's actually the first that I've heard of that, but there's no question whatever they're spraying, we covered the primary ingredients, again, in geoengineering programs, aluminum, barium, and strontium. But there's a lot of other things that are being sprayed. Clifford Carnicomas is one of the greatest researchers. He really got into Morgellons and a bunch of other issues. So it looks like this is in part experimentation, you know, human experimentation. And we are seeing, you know, illnesses that are new. And we're seeing a lot of ecological changes, which we've never had before here on the Earth. So that's the first that I've heard of that, but it doesn't surprise me at all.
You know, I was just sent an email. I don't know the date of when they were doing it, but they just released that they did some real severe testing in St. Louis and on a lot of the poor population and things like that. And they sprayed them with cadmium and and some radioactive materials just to observe what would happen, you know, very large areas. And they actually put it on rooftops and things like that and sprayed it on projects, you know, like low-income people and sprayed it with jets and the whole nine yards, and just to observe, you know, how people, the populace, would react to these toxins and radiation and things like that. And they've just released this just recently. This one woman got through FOIA, got all the documents on it, and released it, and they've denied it all the way. They're still denying it, that they did it.
Unbelievable, because they don't want to be accountable. But, you know, we don't have to look too far back into history, into, you know, the thousands of declassified issues of human experimentation. Tuskegee experiment was just one of the many. So there's definitely a history of it, you know. But as humans, we have rights. We deserve to breathe clean, fresh air. Those are being violated today.
Oh, yeah.
So my, you know, we just wonder why people are not, you know, crowding the town halls. There's actually an experiment. Geoengineers are calling to actually do open geoengineering experiments above New Mexico, and we think that they're planning on doing it this month. And you know, I think it's a beta test to see how people will react to it and if people will accept it or create an uprise. So we're trying to been speaking with Rosalind Peterson about getting some action and people activated into that area to protest. But again, they're starting to now take these programs, which have been going on for looks like about 15 years, probably 10 to 15 full-scale deployment, and bring them into the open. So geoengineers now are selling these programs, spraying 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum and other particles into our sky. They're selling it as a mitigation of global warming, stating that putting these aerosols in our sky will actually reflect the sun and cool the earth. And it actually will. And you'll notice on heavy spray days, you know, after they start spraying and the sun is blocked out, you get about a 7 to 8 degree change in weather. It gets a lot cooler. But we found a number of studies which we covered in Why in the World Are They Spraying, which indicate, yes, temporarily, regionally, these programs will cool the planet, but at night they act as a blanket and they trap heat. So again, these are university and NASA studies. Not that I completely trust NASA or many universities, but it definitely looks like it's actually exacerbating global warming. So we started asking the question, what is this really about? And we don't think it has anything to do with the mitigation of global warming, but it does have all to do with consolidating an enormous amount of both monetary and political power into the hands of a few.
I know the aluminum, I guess a lot of the aluminum, it actually blocks the uptake of the root system for a lot of trees and plants and your gardens and things like that. And I've noticed that in my gardens this year, although they still did pretty well because I just hit them maximum, you know, with everything I could give them. But still, I noticed some tomato plants just died for no reason.
We're finding that around the world. I was actually I live part time on Maui, and in the farm that I lived on, they've seen, I believe it was a 60% decline in their ability to grow natural organic food. So they actually built a greenhouse so that they could get yields. That's how bad it's getting in that area. This is in Hawaii. You should not need a greenhouse at all. So we're finding declines in yields around the world with natural organic foods. But of course, there is a solution to that. But a couple of things that aluminum oxide does, it will change the pH of soil. So we've seen, like in your area in Northern California, profound pH changes. We've seen anywhere between 10 to 12 times the alkalinity of the soil that should be acidic in that area. And that destroys a lot of plant life that requires an acidic soil to grow. But you're right, a lot of plants, because aluminum oxide, it's aluminum in its free form, it will actually, plants will have root systems that will shut down when that's introduced into the soil. So as a result, the trees and the plants will not get the nutrients that it should be getting, so they die a very slow death. And if people look around, you know, I was in Maui in the rainforest, and everything started turning brown, and that was over the wintertime. And the Hawaiians said, you know, every winter when we get our rains, we expect things to turn more green. Mm-hmm. And again, they said this, you know, this winter when the rains came, everything turned brown. And there's no question that these particles are in the rain. A Maui County official did 30 rain tests, and again, he found the chemtrail geoengineering footprint of aluminum, barium, and strontium in every test.
Hmm. Yeah, I haven't tested our water here, but I noticed that there's been a real sharp decline in a lot of the, you know, the little polywogs and the frogs in mm-hmm. one of our major ponds here. They're pretty much absent. Usually there's huge black lines of polywogs in this pond. And this year, I mean, there weren't any. You know, it was like, you know, nothing, basically. And I'm wondering if that had anything to do with it, the heavy chemtrailing.
You know, I spoke with Francis Mangles about that, and he's a biologist, uh-huh. and he worked for the USDA and the Forestry Service for a number of years, and he said absolutely. And what it's doing, the aluminum, not only is changing the pH of water and streams in our soils, but again, it's also very toxic when it's in its free form. So a lot of the arthropods and insects that should be in streams now are dying because of those changes, and it affects literally everything in the food chain. So we're seeing literally ecosystems, everything being thrown off. There has been no greater threat to our planet. And another thing, James, a lot of people are noticing that when they go out in the sun, they burn very easy. And I used to be able to go out in the sun for, you know, 4 to 5 hours without burning. Now, within about 20 minutes to a half an hour, I'm burning. And geoengineering programs literally shred our ozone, and geoengineers are very open about this. And we actually now have a major hole over the northern hemisphere, and we believe it's directly a result of geoengineering programs. So it literally is destroying our protective layer of the planet. And I'll be very blunt. No ozone, no life on the planet.
Yeah, it's, you know, when I hear these things, you know, and I see what these people are doing, you know, they're running just roughshod over everybody. There's no oversight in any of this. You know, nobody's really, you know, looking at this on any level. You know, no major scientists. It seems like there's no panels with any clout, you know, that are stepping up to the plate. I just wonder why these people, what their end game is. You know, obviously they have some kind of an end game here. And you know, I hate to look at a dark scenario, but it's almost like major depopulation and deforestation or something along that level.
What it is, it's the entities who are doing this want to be the source of life. And it's an issue that's been prophesied in religions for thousands of years. And they talk about this big system, this huge oppressive system that establishes itself and wants to be worshipped. And you know, bottom line, by spraying particles into our sky, they can do a number of things, one of which is controlling our weather. If you control the weather, you can control the planet. You can literally control every food supply and every political system. So through death and destruction of these of life on the planet, they come in with the solution, and that's the genetic modification of our forests, genetic modification of our food, and that literally does establish them as being the source of life. So again, they thrive on death and destruction, uh-huh. and literally an attack on all life, on all life.
You know, I look at what these people are doing, and you know, it's. To me, it's like there's no, it's not well thought out, for one thing. You know, they don't even understand the basic, you know, law of karma, or, you know, as you sow, so shall you reap, or whatever you want to call it. But, you know, what goes around comes around. That is so basic. You know, it's so ridiculously basic. You know, these guys might be clever, but they're definitely not wise. But what blows me away is that it just seems if there's a paycheck involved, people will do anything, even if it means the demise of the very platform for life. They will continue and turn a blind eye to acts that are just genocidal, basically. There's no other word for it.
They absolutely are, and there are a number of levels that people benefit from this. And why in the world are they spraying? And I want to put out the website, whyintheworldarethespraying.com, where people can see the trailer. But at the very least, there's a financial incentive for weather control. And we covered an issue when I started researching this. We looked into weather being traded on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. And I'm going to repeat that because it was hard for me to believe. But weather is actually being traded on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. So I made a few phone calls, and I contacted a trader, and we flew out to Chicago, and we learned a lot of things. There are these things called weather derivatives, and individuals and corporations can actually hedge their risk based on severe weather. So he used an example of companies that would be interested in this, and energy companies that would require X amount of days to be, you know, below 30 degrees, and they can actually hedge their risk if it's a warm winter and still, you know, make a profit. Seed companies, for instance, could hedge their risk. And Mike Agnew, the trader who we interviewed, used an example of a seed company having, you know, $5 million worth of crop in the Midwest, and then it being a very dry summer result of crop loss from the weather, that crop being destroyed. He said, through these derivatives, you can actually benefit. Let's say you insure that crop for $10 million, you actually make money if the crop fails. And I'm not saying everybody involved with weather derivatives is, you know, involved with weather control and weather modification, but essentially most people believe that our weather is unpredictable in the long term, and it's you know, pretty much natural, and that's the furthest thing from the truth. Without question, you know, we dug into this. Our weather is being controlled. The technology is there. It's been around for a very long time. But anyways, we do know certain people do have the playbook, people linked into the people behind the weather control programs. And if you have the playbook, you cannot lose. You can literally make billions of dollars. So this summer we had crop losses around the Midwest and actually around the nation. And the individuals who knew about this orchestrated drought literally made billions and billions of dollars this summer. And a lot of farmers, unfortunately, either went under or we see, you know, a lot of farmers having to go to a solution, which is the genetically modified seeds. The farmers that actually had to go under sold their farmland for literally pennies on the dollar. There was a company owned by George Soros who came in and, again, was giving farmers pennies for the dollar on that crop, on their farmland. And that's directly related to Agenda 21 objectives, uh-huh. which, you know, are trying to get people off of the country and packed into tight cities. But again, the genetically modified seed companies really benefit from summers like this and the death and destruction of our soils.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Agenda 21 because, you know, I'm beginning to wonder if I don't fit into that category because they've been trying to shut down this ranch for quite a while. Almost 3 years now we've been hassled and just ridiculous things, you know, like code violations where there aren't any. And then writing tickets on top of them, and you know you pay for permits, and then they refuse to issue them, and instead of issuing the permit, they write tickets, you know, code violation tickets, and mm-hmm. and just insanity. It's just pure insanity and harassment on every level. But these people, you know, they're going to be held to task for this nonsense that eventually, but. You know, it just makes your life a lot more stressful, and you know, you could be putting all this time and energy in something more positive. You know, but that's the game they're playing. But this Agenda 21, you know, getting the populations, as you're saying, jammed back into cities and getting them out of the country, and also too by this profit through destruction program going where they're destroying farms and the crops and things like that. It to me just sounds like there's some other force working here, and it's looking pretty demonic to me, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. And again, this relates to a lot of different religions and in their scriptures about this.
Yeah.
The beast, this oppressive system, this corporate governmental conglomerate, I call the beast, that literally wants to be the source of life. So through weather control, it's a very effective tool for Agenda 21 objectives. It's a very effective tool for destroying our ability to grow natural organic foods. In Why in the World Are They Spraying, we interviewed two farmers, spoke with many, and around the globe, we're seeing collapses. Farmers have seen many of them around a 60 to 70% decline in their ability to grow natural organic foods. Have noticed a direct correlation when the spraying started to the declines in their crops. So through this death and destruction, not only are they getting farmers to give up their land and sell their land, but it's literally a corporatization of our food supply. And what we found, we contacted a lady named Barbara Peterson. She runs a website called Farm Wars, and she's been researching the chemtrail-GMO relationship. And what we found, there has been a tremendous crop loss related from abiotic stress. As a matter of fact, the USDA predicts that by 2030, we will see a 50% more increase in declines in crop loss or crop loss destruction due to abiotic stress. So we asked, what is abiotic stress? And found out abiotic stress is everything that the chemtrail geoengineering programs create. It's the drought conditions. It's the heavy metal contamination. It's too much moisture. It's fungal overgrowth. Geoengineering programs actually exacerbate fungal growth because they block our sun. So now mm-hmm. we're seeing a lot of crop loss related. Well, there is a solution to this. We found that Monsanto has patented an abiotic stress-resistant seed, which will now grow in the new conditions which we have. So again, it's the death and destruction of our ability to grow natural organic foods, and then they come in with this solution, these genetically modified seeds. So it's definitely concerning those of us who want to live on the land. It looks like they're trying to make it literally impossible, not only through legal actions, which you're dealing with, obviously, mm-hmm. but through the death and destruction, again, of our ecosystems.
Yeah, I know that one thing is that they get very, very upset about anybody that uses, the S word, which is sovereign, and they get really upset with anybody doing anything organic too, which is amazing. Even milk, they're going after all these, dairy farmers with SWAT teams and, heavily armed SWAT teams kicking in their doors, arresting their grandmothers and children and carting them off to jail for drinking organic milk, and a lot of people are aware of that program. But, at what time I wonder what it's going to take for the people, what's that match, that's going to ignite the big flame of freedom or whatever you want to call it, where people are just going to go, enough, enough's enough. Who are these people? And it's time to get rid of them.
Well, I think it's happening. I think the awakening is happening, and I see it every day. We get emails all of the time. But I really, I had the revelation when I was in Maui, and I had grown up essentially in the corporatized world, getting my food from the grocery store and really been being separated. But when we're out filming What in the World Are They Spraying, we went out to an organic farm, and we woke up the next morning, and I was starving, and I didn't have anything to eat. And I asked people, I said, I'm hungry. Is there a store I could go to? And this was just way out in the middle of nowhere, and they kind of looked and laughed at me, and I said, what are you laughing at? They said, look around. I said, I don't see a store. They said, look around. They said, there's food all around you. Just, grab something off of a tree or get something from the garden. And it was kind of an epiphany from me, because you know, gave me the revelation on how I think the world was originally the plan for the world, and that was to have everything for free, to live independently, to live sovereignly, to grow our own food, not to be dependent on this corporate structure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I look at the way that we live on Maui, and the corporations primarily do not benefit from us. They don't really get anything from us because we're working with nature. And we're a threat to that system. And this is what this is. It's literally, again, what's been discussed in every major prophecy. It's this attack on life. And in Hawaii, we're dependent primarily on, you know, sunshine, natural rain, and natural seeds. Well, this system, this beast, through these programs, they're actually destroying our ability to grow natural organic foods. And through that, they actually usurp the authority of God or the authority of nature and bring it under this corporate authority. And that is where the shift of power is. So it's through the death and destruction that the system gains power. And that's, again, if you look back in the scriptures, in every major religion, it talks about the system, and chemtrail geoengineering programs enable the system to completely corporatize every natural system.
I know in the Native American prophecies, there's a lot of different ways of explaining this, but I know the Lakota prophecies talk about the beast, you know, and they say he's 2,000 miles wide, and that's how long its reign is. And they said basically, just when you think there's no more hope and you think that the beast has totally dominated and controlled everything and you know, is destroying the environment and everything else, they said the beast finally consumes itself. And that seems to be where it's going. It's on every level, you know, economically, naturally. You look at every level, none of this is sustainable. This is totally unsustainable. And it has to collapse. It can't continue. But, you know, it's just, I just wonder how far we're going to let it, you know, how many people it's going to take with it and how far people are going to let it go.
Well, I think that answer remains in each and every one of us. You know, how much attention and energy do we want to give to standing up? And again, we've never seen devastation on the planet from these programs. Again, they're destroying our ozone, literally shredding it, destroying our soils. It appears there's a huge methane release, and because these programs actually exacerbate global warming, it appears that they're directly related to the ice melt that we're having in the northern hemisphere. So again, we're having this greenhouse gas, which apparently is, I believe, 200 times more has more of the greenhouse effect than CO2, which is being released at alarming rates. So we're seeing temperatures literally go through the roof. Actually, geoengineers now are calling for emergency geoengineering to deal with this issue by putting more particles up into our sky, which will contaminate everything more, which will poison all of our populations more. But again, it looks like these programs are directly related to all the problems that we're seeing. But again, if you look at this and if you look at the end game, these programs give, according to David Keith, he's one of the top geoengineers in the world, he made a statement that was pretty concerning a couple of years ago. He said geoengineering gives man godlike power. Yeah. And this is what I think he was talking about. I think he was talking about this huge shift in power of what we're seeing. But the planet cannot sustain itself. We are literally seeing, looks like, temperatures going through the roof. Our ecosystems are so thrown off, weather patterns so far off. And that literally affects everything. You had mentioned the tiny arthropods and the amphibians, you know, in your area. That's part of our food chain. So it, again, affects every natural system on the planet. And as our ozone gets destroyed more and more every day, I think we're going to see profound changes. And I think we will see nature literally come back very, very fierce. And deal, nature and or God, and come back and, again, deal with this situation, because we're allowing a lot of devastating things to happen on our planet.
There's an old saying, nature's very slow to act, but very thorough, you know, once she does. And it seems like we can push it to a point. You know, I've always felt the nature that, you know, the earth is self-regulating, self-healing, you know, if it starts overheating, you know, it throws up more clouds, you know, more volcanoes go off, things like that, and automatically kind of regulates itself if they would leave it alone.
That's right. And again, the scientists who are selling these programs as a solution to global warming, they're very open about the consequences. And again, that's ozone depletion, pH changes of our soil. They state it could disrupt the food supply of over 2 billion people. I mean, just amazing. But and they're literally playing God, talking about, you know, which countries would benefit from this and how you deal with the countries that would be negatively affected. And they actually state that if they start these programs, it'll create droughts in Africa and Asia. And it was shocking to hear that. And the reason is because not only will it create droughts in Africa and Asia, it will create droughts all around the world. But now we have droughts in Africa and Asia, and it's very interesting. We have a push by Monsanto to actually go into Africa at the same time. So it looks like, again, this is an attack on their ability to grow natural organic foods. And if you're a farmer, you know, let's take a farmer, for example, in Africa that's getting, you know, huge yields, growing natural organic foods, and Monsanto came knocking on your door, obviously you wouldn't get purchase seeds, which many are terminator seeds, which will not regenerate. So the farmer is dependent year after year after year going back and purchasing those seeds. But now what we're seeing is a cry, you know, for these seeds because the natural organic seeds are not growing anymore. So again, it's a very effective tool to control food supplies, populations, and also governments. And it's interesting because geoengineers are calling for a world government. They're calling for a central power to look over these programs. So again, a consolidation of power into the hands of a few. And they state, you know, if we don't take control of this and we initiate these programs, whose hand would be on the thermostat and who would determine which countries get rain, vice versa. And it was just shocking, James, to hear them, you know, literally playing God and talking about this.
Yeah, it's amazing the arrogance, you know, and the egos that are involved in this stuff. It's just mind blown that anybody with a rational mind, you know, just a basic decent human being, would just say, "What are you doing?" You know, and you know, it's like you're gonna do what? But we seem to have lost that, and maybe it's the aluminum that brought that about. We seem to have lost critical thinking and just base common sense in some of the things, and we've just been blinded by that almighty dollar, or we're voting, you know, according to our paycheck, not our conscience, and it just seems the civilization here, especially in the U.S., it has just gotten to a point where we are just brain dead, you know. That's what's. But I mean, people are waking up now. I mean, there is a movement to start waking up, but. Especially with the GMO thing over in Europe, you know, they're banning all this, you know, and they're just coming down heavy, you know, on the GMO, and they're releasing the studies where the rats were just full of tumors, you know, after eating the corn and all the other things, and there's a big movement to ban them, but actually get the foods labeled with GMOs. But over in the United States, there's nothing. You know, it's like you know, it's totally blocked, censored, shut down, and, you know, corporate suppressed.
Yeah, there's been a very effective indoctrination program that many of us have gone through, and I think it's only through, you know, a spiritual experience that most of us can get awake, and usually those come through times of crisis. So we're hoping now that through, you know, the challenging financial times and obviously, I live in Los Angeles, and because of the drought this summer, we are going to see food prices go through the roof. My estimation is by about 30 to 35% within the next couple of months, because a lot of our corn was wiped out. And that's literally going to devastate people. And I do a lot of street activism. I hand out a lot of free DVDs a lot in South Central and in lower income communities. And I've been speaking to people and asking them, you know, what will you do if food prices go up 30%, which they probably will. And they said, well, you know, our food prices have gone through the roof in the past couple of years, but if they go up more, we have no idea, you know, how we're going to pay our rent. So with that, we're going to see all kinds of social problems. We're going to see a lot of drug dealing. We're going to see a lot of violence, a lot more burglaries, you know, a whole bunch of things just to get the primary resources that humans need. And again, through this, this is usually when people start to wake up. So we're seeing people starting to question the system. And the chemtrail issue is a very effective, issue to start people up with, because, you know, once people notice it, it's very hard to ignore when you see it on a daily basis. And the films have been a great activism tool. Both films, we're allowing people to make copies and hand out for free. So we encourage people to do that. As a result, we have people around the world now handing out DVDs, hitting the streets. We have ordinances now in a couple areas in New York. There's one in Maui. We did a lot of heavy activism on the streets. Also spoke to a lot of the local politicians who are now concerned about this. But anyways, to get a DVD, you can go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com. It helps support our work, but it also helps support the vision of getting people active and making burning DVDs and handing them out.
You know, I had an interesting thing happen here. I had a friend who he does a lot of work on motorcycles and things like that, and he's a mechanic. And he was working on this guy's motorcycle. He was a pilot. And he asked him, you know, he's an Air Force pilot. And so he asked him, you know, like what he did. You know, he told him, he said, oh, well, we're involved in, you know, some project. I don't even know what he called it. But he says, yeah, we just got finished spraying heavily this UFO ranch over in Washington. I go, what? And this guy's bragging about it and feels good about it. And I don't know what they're spraying, but it seems like anybody who is an activist gets a little extra dose of whatever they're spraying. And one time they came over and they sprayed us so heavily, our chickens fell over. And
oh my God.
We're expressing all this nerve, you know, it was a nerve agent. I don't know what they sprayed, but, you know, we got a little extra dose. And this guy was bragging about it. And this is a guy that's in the military. He's a pilot. You know, you're not stupid if you're a pilot. Basically, you wouldn't be flying those planes. But to me, you know, like my question is, how on earth can you validate or justify, you know, when you've taken an oath, you know, in the military oath, you know, how can you justify spraying large areas of the population with something you know is toxic and going to have some extreme adverse effects? I mean, what? It just blows me away. How do these guys do it and continue to do it and not have any remorse, any guilt, any conscience whatsoever?
Yeah, it's definitely the indoctrination and brainwashing. So we have this level of intelligence without the consciousness that people need. So we have people that are doing some really, really terrible things and not even aware of who they might be affecting. And, yeah. You know, we often, you know, one of the reasons I made both films was to reach out to the people involved with these programs. You know, there are two tiers, the people who are greatly benefiting, you know, at the very top, but then there are the pilots and the people involved at other levels. And for the most part, I think they've probably been told that they're doing something good. And when they realize that perhaps, you know, their child's asthma is related to what they're doing, or their parents' Alzheimer's could be related to what they're doing, you know, my hope is that they will, you know, question what they're doing and really start to back away from these programs. And I think that's a very effective way to break down these programs, to really... you know, reach out to the pilots and again make them aware of what they're doing. And we're hoping, you know, that through that consciousness, we will have an end of these programs. We'll have people that make the right choice and not go into work and decide that they won't be part of these programs. And
or start blowing the whistle on them, you know, get some more whistleblowers out there and just to really give the data out on what they are spraying and the effects of it, and, you know. And,
Absolutely. We definitely need some whistleblowers, and it definitely is time. So, James, we literally have had no greater threat and crime against humanity on this planet. There's nothing left unturned that these programs do not devastate. So, you know, as a result, we're hoping that somebody will take a bold step and blow the whistle on this. Of course, you and I know that there are non-disclosure agreements, and the people that blow the whistle have severe consequences. But, you know, I think that what we're looking at, if we don't address this and get these programs stopped, I think we're looking at much, much further consequences. Literally, the entire future of the humanity is resting on this issue. So once we get these programs stopped, which we will, it just depends on the rest of us when we're going to get active on this. You know, the planet will, like you spoke, heal herself. Mother Earth will heal herself. It'll probably go through, you know, a drastic changes. One of the geoengineers, Alan Robach, states once we start these programs, it will be next to impossible to stop because that the planet will get used to it, and if we stop, the temperatures will go up dramatically and we'll have all kinds of weather changes. But that's something that I'm willing to go through in order to get the planet back on balance, and I think that's what we need to do. So again, it really is dependent on those of us who are aware of this. I can't stress the importance of getting active and handing out DVDs. We actually have a YouTube of Why in the World Are They Spraying? So please send that out to your email list. Send it out to your Facebook, use social networking. Bring the film into work, out into your community. I usually leave the house with, you know, with loaded pockets of DVDs and look for opportunities to awaken my community. As a result, my community here in Los Angeles is awakened, but also in Maui, in Hawaii. And we started street campaigns, handing out free DVDs, and did some community meetings. And within several months, we had critical mass. And once you get critical mass, politicians will listen. So we had the county council on Maui start addressing this. We met with the mayor's office, and they became concerned about it. So we wrote what is called the Maui Clean Sky Ordinance. And it's an ordinance which will ban geoengineering programs on and around the county of Maui without two things, informed consent, which they'll never get, and an environmental impact statement, which they'll never get. So I'm going to be going back there in a couple of weeks. They have elections, and I'm going to obviously bring this issue up, but I'm going to learn as well about how to address this politically. But it will be a major campaign issue for many of the council members, and hopefully we can bring this to the rest of the world. And we think collectively, if we start at the county level, at the local level, that we can take county sovereignty, we can take sovereignty back. And if enough counties around the country come out and ban these programs and around the world, we think that we can get them stopped. And again, geoengineers, they're calling for emergency geoengineering. So they want to get, and they're trying to get their legislation in place immediately to start these illegal programs and make them legal. And they want to start by next year. So I can't stress the importance of waking up our communities and getting active. And then as a result, once the population is aware and awake, then we can take other measures.
I think nature has some surprises for them, you know, that they hadn't counted on.
You know? I think you're right.
Yeah. You know, I love that old saying, you know, man plans and God laughs, you know. But, you know, I think it's getting to be that time for people to rise up and just say enough. You know, we're enough. You know, I totally believe in this wave of energy coming through and this shift in consciousness where we are moving towards unity consciousness, and everything that isn't in alignment with that consciousness is going to, you know, it's just not going to be frequency specific to the earth anymore. And these people are going to implode on themselves either by an acceleration of their karma or the rise in consciousness where people just are going to know who they are and what they're up to, you know, through direct knowing or telepathy. And you know, their time is up, I think, you know, but you know, we're just wondering how much damage are they going to do on the way out, because they aren't going to get away with what they're doing. You know, it might, like the old saying, you know, Buddha talks about karma, you know, it's like fresh milk, you know, it takes a little while to spoil, but it is going to catch up, you know. And that's what I'm seeing. It's like, you know, their karma is pretty spoiled right now, and it's about ready to catch up.
And I think so, and I think in a loving way, I think that we're part of that, and I think bringing this issue up is in bringing truth into the consciousness of people raises their vibration. So through making people aware of this, we can actually help that process out. And I'm not talking about doing anything negative to the people who are behind these programs. I think, again, nature and God has a plan for them. But again, reaching out to the public so that people are not easily deceived. You know, there are actually people buying into the issue of geoengineering who are supportive of taking this measure to deal with the global warming issue. And that's, you know, one of the reasons why we made Why in the World, Alice Frame, was to say this is not, you know, about mitigating global warming. This is about consolidating power into the hands of few. So once people become aware of that and gain that wisdom, I think that again, we can have a great chance of creating the future that we want. And that's what, for me, that's what this is about. And you know, James, a lot of people, I've been in this issue for maybe 4 years, and I went through a couple of processes, but a lot of people address it in anger, you know, and it's very easy to do. Others address it in fear, some address it in denial. I address it in faith, and I believe that, you know, through addressing this, through getting these programs stopped, that we can literally create the future that we want. So this is about creation. What do we want? I know I want, and most people want, to breathe clean, fresh air. They want to eat natural, organic foods. And again, taking the measures that we're taking is allowing us to do that. We've had, again, this system which has been in development for thousands of years, and we have the one issue, which is literally their end game, and enables them to consolidate the final amount of power into the hands of these entities. And we have the ability to stop that. So not only do we have, I think, an obligation to address that once we become aware of it, I really believe that we have a great opportunity to restore the planet, to create the future that we want.
Oh, I agree 100%. And it's all about taking responsibility and, you know, waking up and standing up, which seems like, you know, most of the world right now is starting to figure things out. I was just watching what's going on in Spain right now, and they're just not saying, they're not taking no for an answer, and they're not going to, you know, succumb to the austerity measures, you know, of the international banksters, which want to throw them into abject poverty and create nice little slaves out of everybody. But these are all, you know, the things that Iceland did and things like that, where they just stood up and threw all these guys out and jailed a bunch of them. You know, it's time for that that needs to be a global movement, and it's time for the whole planet to wake up and maybe look at Iceland, look at Spain, and some of these other countries that are standing up and saying enough's enough.
It is, and that's the one of the many solutions, you know, not to participate and enable these things to happen. And I'll give the end of the film away, because I think it's important. At the end of the film, we ask the question again, why in the world are they spraying? And we answered that question with, because we allow it.
Yeah.
And bottom line is this: through either ignorance or interest in other issues, we actually allow these programs to go on, and we do have the ability collectively to stand up. And I guarantee you, if everyone who was aware of these programs stood up at once and said, "No, we are not going to allow this to happen," they would not be able to spray another day. And I believe in the human spirit. I believe in the power of collectively standing up. I believe in the power of the spoken word. And one thing, occasionally, you know, which really grieves me, somebody will come up and they'll say, you know, this is too big. You can't stop this. And And for the record, that is a lie from the pit of hell. We do have the power. We do have the ability. And that's why the system spends so much time, so much energy, so much money on disinformation campaigns, because they are afraid of people recognizing, waking up to the truth and taking action, because they know that that will put an end to their game.
And
that's what we must do.
You know, we're at the end of the hour, unfortunately. I think we've covered just about everything. You know, we could go into this for another hour probably just to get more into it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I guess it's Why on Earth Are They Spraying? Is that the best way to people to contact you and get the DVDs?
It's whyintheworldaretheyspraying.com. And again, we encourage everybody who orders a DVD to make copies and hand out for free. And again, that's been a very effective tool around the world. So yeah, thank you very much, James. Again, it was great connecting with you. And
yeah, keep up the great work, and you know, we'll continue to support this effort and get the message out, and hopefully everybody will start to stand up, wake up, and put an end to this mess.
I think it's happening, so I'm glad to be a part of it.